We are now well past the halfway point of this general election. Now, immediately you might say only three phases out of seven. So how can you say halfway point? It is more than halfway point because of the 543 seats which will go to the polls, 284 have already been polled. In fact, 283 plus 1. Why plus 1? Because that is Surat, which did not have any polling because that's been decided uncontested. The BJP has won that uncontested. So three phases so far. Phase 1, 102 seats. Phase 2, 88 seats. Phase 3, 93 plus 1, Surat. That is 284 seats. Now, what is it that we can say at this point? And what is it that we can look ahead to? Now, we don't do any cephalogy. We don't do any opinion polling. In any case, during an election campaign, you can't do opinion polling. And while there are rumors and there is Satta Bazaar and all that, I would advise you to discount all of that. Wherever I go, wherever any journalist goes these days, in fact, wherever common people, non-journalistic people also meet, non-journalistic, non-political people meet, the first question they ask each other is, what do you think is the number? Nobody knows the number, right? I would have been tempted to say only God knows the number, but you know what? I will say in great humility, even God doesn't know the number. Because people can change their minds at any point of time. So even God can't predict today. Of course, God will forgive me for saying this. Even God can't predict today what will Janta Janardan, do tomorrow. So that is uncertain. Various experts make their own predictions. If you see the writings of Yogendra Yadav, which are published in the print, that's his point of view, his opinion. His opinion is that in the phases so far, the BJP is going to be minus 20 over what they had the last time. And he suggests that in this phase 3 also, they could lose another 20, who knows, because they had already got, with their allies, they had already got 82 of these 93 seats. So they can't get many more, they can only lose. Those are, however, his calculations. I make no such calculations, and that is his opinion that we publish. What I do, however, I look at the data that's available, and I've compiled this with the help of Amog Rometra, who's helped with this several times before, and whose byline you read often on the print in our political bureau. And with that, I'm drawing some broad lessons and broad pointers going ahead. So 283, 284. 283 plus 1. What is the significance of this 284? So first of all, the 284, there are a couple of broad points. One broad point is our basis, the basis that we use for our political analysis for 2024 election. And you've seen us do this a couple of times before in National Interest as well as Cut the Clutter. That is, look at the number of seats in which the BJP got more than 50% of the vote the last time. I keep telling you, 50%, more than 50% vote is the holy grail of first past the post system. Very few people go past 50%. Rajiv Gandhi with his 414 seats ultimately ended up with 46.4% of the vote. So that said, if a party gets more than 50% vote in a seat, you would think that in the next election, it will be that much tougher for the opposition, for its opponents to bring it down or to climb that mountain. So that becomes too steep a wall to climb, because if one party was 50% plus, then there were lots of other chota fellows, and then the major challenger was say 33-34%, the gap becomes too much. That number for the BJP in 2019 was 224. See this chart, you've seen this before, but see this chart again. This chart is color coded. You can see the states in which these seats are located. When you see this map and see where these seats are located, then we will tell you in which states polling has been fully completed, right? And then I think that will be hint enough to where I am headed. But let me just read out the names of the states which have completed their polling already, where candidates' fate has already been sealed. It's in the electronic voting machines and it's sitting there to be opened on 4th of June. These states are Gujarat, finished today, Rajasthan, Tamil Nadu, Uttarakhand, Karnataka, Kerala, Assam, and Chhattisgarh, right? Together, these add up to 168 seats. So 168 seats worth of states have already completed their polling. Now there are many other states, Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra, Bihar, West Bengal. These are big states, big seat-rich states, but their elections will take place in future phases. These ones have been done. If you look at these and look at this map of 50% plus, you will see that a lot of these 50% plus seats for the BJP fall in these states which have already completed. So your first reaction would be, oh, so BJP has got a larger number, a very large number of the 50% plus seats, where we say, we are not saying anybody who gets more than 50% in one election is unassailable, but we are saying that it's much tougher than for the opposition to challenge it. Now, if you see that number, and I will tell you another number, then you will see where I am headed. So of the 284 seats which have polled already, of these 284, BJP in 2019 had won 166 seats. So 166, say in the first half of this general election, 166 out of 284, see the figure, big figure on your screen, 166 out of 284, that becomes 58.4% of all seats. So this was BJP's strong area, this half. The second half, it's not as if BJP is particularly weaker, but BJP's victory rate, strike rate in the second half, that is 259 seats, which will still go to the polls now in the next four phases, was 137 seats, so 52.8. So gap is about 6 percentage points. It's lower than the first half, but not that much lower. So you would say, so what is the difference? It's about the same. I will tell you what the difference is. When you see the seats that the BJP won by more than 50% vote, 135 of those 224 seats fall in the first half, which is over today. So 135 out of 284 seats, that is 47.5% seats, BJP had more than 50% of the vote. That's why it's much tougher for the opposition now to climb that wall and to turn the tables on the BJP, and BJP would feel a lot more secure in these seats. In the remaining 259, BJP won 137 seats, and which was only a little bit lower than the strike rate in the first half of 284, but the seats that it won by more than 50%, there the percentage comes down. So only 89 of these 137 seats were won by more than 50% in the first half, which is over today. 135 of 166 were won by more than 50%. In the second half, out of 137 won from 259, only 89 were won by more than 50%. That becomes 34.4%. So in the first half, 47.5%. In the second half, 34.4%. So what will the opposition think? The opposition will think that these are the seats. It's almost half the seats that still remain. These are the seats where we might have a better opportunity to stop the BJP, or to stop the BJP short from whatever they've been imagining, or the opposition would like to keep it short of 273. That will be the opposition's objective. Of course, the opposition would say their objective is to get a majority amongst themselves and come to power. Nevertheless, I would say a more realistic objective would be to keep the BJP short of 273. And the opposition would think if they have to have a real crack at that, they must be able to do something in this second half. That is why in some ways the business end of this election begins now. Now, some people will say, oh, in the first half, you have Tamil Nadu and Kerala, so BJP wasn't going to get many seats from there. But the fact is, in spite of that, they had 166 out of 284. Strike rate was higher. In the second half also, there is Andhra Pradesh where BJP is not that strong. And there are some seats here and there also where BJP is not that strong. Say Punjab, for example. That besides this 50% cutoff is a very important point. What I'm also doing is, just for ease of understanding or for simplicity, I'm also sharing with you three charts of data showing voting in each phase state-wise, and also the number of seats each major party or grouping had won the last time. That is the BJP, the Congress, today's constituents of India Alliance besides the Congress, and constituents of NDA besides the BJP. In some places, it gets confusing. Say in Maharashtra, because in Maharashtra, what was NDA the last time? What were the NDA constituents the last time? That has changed a little bit because Shiv Sena has become something else. There are two Shiv Senas and NCP, which would today be like the India Alliance member, that has split as well. So Maharashtra is a little bit confusing. The rest is quite simple to understand. So please look at these charts. These will help us declutter things. Also, as we go ahead, these charts will be a good reference point. Now look at what is left right now. Of the 259 that's left, Haryana, 10 are left, BJP won all 10 the last time, 9 of the 10 were won with more than 50% vote. Punjab, 13 are left plus 1 Chandigarh, BJP had won Chandigarh, they did not do so well in Punjab. If Punjab is not a state where BJP has been traditionally popular until the last election, they at least had an alliance with the Akali Dal. Now that alliance is also not there, that's going to be a challenge. Himachal, they had swept. Andhra Pradesh, this time the BJP has an ally. Last time BJP had no seats there, now BJP has an ally in TDP. Looks like TDP is getting some traction on the ground, particularly because the state assembly election is also taking place simultaneously, and there is a long anti-incumbency against YSRCP. So BJP would expect to make some gains in Andhra Pradesh, but BJP is not contesting that many seats in Andhra Pradesh. They are contesting only 6 seats. So how many could they gain there? That is, there is a limitation there. Then you come to Telangana. Telangana, BJP won 4 seats the last time and surprised the country because nobody had expected the BJP to do so well. In that election, in fact, even Kavita, KCR's daughter, was also defeated by a BJP candidate. This time BJP expects to do better. However, the difference is that while BRS is really weak, BRS is down on its knees, it looks like they lost power in the state, parties in disarray, parties people have been leaving. The question is, where will its voters go? Will they go to BJP? Will they go to Congress? Will they be divided? So the BJP is hoping now that it will move into BRS's space and become, if not the first, the second party in the states. Ideally, BJP would like, the dream situation for the BJP would be that this becomes like another state where people vote for one party in the state and for another party in Lok Sabha. But the fact, however, is that Congress party has just come to power. It's quite powerful. It has a good campaigner in the chief minister there. It has a much larger vote share in the assembly than the BJP, and Congress party is resurgent. So BJP will have a challenge there. Once again, can it win many more seats? If BJP has to keep its own promise to its own voters and loyalists of getting to 350, 360, 370, then it has to get a lot of seats in states like Telangana, which are its unconventional states. Jharkhand, all 14 seats are yet to go to the polls. BJP had won 11 the last time. So once again, how many more could they gain? And remember again, of the 11, BJP had won 8 by more than 50%. So the 50% plus rule also kicks in there as well. So that much tougher for the opposition, although the Congress and the JMM are now united and there might be some sympathy factor for JMM. Despite that, to get over a 50% plus victory by your rival is that much tougher. But again, BJP had won 11 the last time. So how many more could they do this time? Madhya Pradesh, they had won almost all the last time. So there is only a handful left. Even if they win all of them, it takes them back to the earlier numbers. Odisha, all 21 seats are yet to go to the polls. And you can see the Prime Minister has been concentrated on Odisha. The BJP got 8 the last time. The Prime Minister now is attacking the Chief Minister quite strongly and quite directly, which wasn't the case in the past. The BJP would like to believe that Naveen Patnaik is on the decline now, that he doesn't have a clear successor from his family. Although NIS officer VK Pandian is now seen as a likely successor, at the same time, the BJP would say, but he's Tamil, he's not even Odia, etc. So let us see what happens. Once again, if BJP has to either get more numbers or make up for any numbers that they might lose elsewhere. Now, let's flip the equation a little bit, because for BJP to do better or worse, the flip side is, do its opponents, particularly members of the India Alliance, are they doing better or worse? So if you look at the Congress party, they won 52 seats in the last election, of which 34 seats were won in phases which are already over. While we say that the BJP won a larger percentage of its states in these phases that are over now, so did the Congress party. They won 34 out of 52. So they don't have that much of headroom available in terms of where they had got seats the last time. But again, if you see these phases, there are many states where Congress had mostly drawn a blank. They had done very badly. These are also the states where Congress happens to be the BJP's main rival. That's Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Gujarat, Assam, some other states in the Northeast, and many others like that. So Congress, for the BJP to be stopped short, Congress has to do that much better. In fact, if you look at all of the India Alliance, of the 259 seats which are yet to go to the polls, the current India Alliance only had 40 seats, 4-0. So for them, you can again see it like glass half full or half empty. You can again see it like glass half empty or half full. You can say, look, you only had 40. How many more can you get? Because these are states where you were not strong even in 2019. Your basic strength is missing. How much can you grow? But the other way of seeing this is, oh, this is where a lot of headroom is available, because they had won only 40 the last time. From 40, if they go to 50, if they go to 60, then BJP can be stopped short. Now, again, as we take the next step in this analysis, we have to see where these seats remain. Where do the remaining 259 seats remain? I counted some of the states for you. Those were particularly the states where BJP is very powerful, where they got either all the seats the last time or a lot of seats by more than 50%. Of the seats that remain, where the opposition will see a chance. In Bihar, 26 seats still remain. The last time BJP and its allies got 39 out of 40. BJP won all its seats, all the seats it contested in Bihar, all 17 that it contested, of which 14 were won by again more than 50%. So we stay with our 50% rule. But the rest of the seats were won by its allies. Rest of the seats except one, Kishanganj, which is a Muslim majority constituency, that was won by the Congress party. And the rest were won by BJP's allies, that is JDU and LJP, that is Ram Vilas Paswan's party. Now that is where the opposition will see an opportunity, because while Congress and RJD might have been together in the past as well, at this point, it does look like that Tejaswi Yadav in particular is getting some traction on the ground. But anyway, don't go by journalists' reports, because journalists will see sometimes what they want to see. There is confirmation bias, all of that. So let's cut all of that out. The fact is that there is no doubt that at this point, JDU is a very pale shadow of what it used to be. Because Nitish Kumar has made so many turnarounds. He's gone through so many defections that, you know, anybody would lose some confidence in him. And now there's a double challenge for Narendra Modi to transfer his vote to Nitish Kumar. In the past, some of Nitish's vote would have come to the BJP and BJP would have benefited. And that's the reason BJP used to give a lot of seats to Nitish Kumar. This time, once again, they've given all these seats to him. I suppose because they want to keep the state government intact, or they wanted to keep the state government intact through these elections. But the fact is that Nitish Kumar on the ground will struggle to win these seats on his own. And the opposition there would think that they have an opportunity. And that increases the degree of difficulty for Narendra Modi in Bihar. Then you have Maharashtra. That's the other key state. Maharashtra, once again, the basic nature of the alliances has changed. So both sides have traded allies, or both sides have seen allies break up and one faction go away. So the BJP saw the Shiv Sena break up. One faction remains with the BJP. The other faction goes with India. Similarly, NCP, which was Congress's ally or would have been an India ally today, that broke up. One faction is gone with the BJP. The other faction is with the India Alliance or with Congress. So the question is, where will the vote go? Two questions will come up in Maharashtra. One, where will Shiv Sena's committed voters vote now? Which Sena will they see as the real Sena? The same applies to NCP as well. Which NCP will they see as the real NCP? The second question, once again, how much can Narendra Modi influence or attract or entice voters of these two parties, committed voters of Shiv Sena NNCP to vote for candidates of his alliance, what is called as Mahayuti in Maharashtra, which means his own candidates, BJP candidates, as well as candidates of Shiv Sena and NCP. On that will depend what the final number will be. The last time NDA had 42 seats in Maharashtra, 42 plus 1, because one was Navneet Rana, who was independent, later was supported by the BJP, joined the BJP in the course of time. So let's say 43 out of 48. Once again, in Maharashtra, as in Bihar, the situation is substantively different now, and we have to see where it goes. And the opposition will see an opportunity. Yet again, the BJP, this election is not over. This election is being fought state by state by state by state. So in Maharashtra and Bihar, the opposition thinks that they have a better opportunity. The fact also is that in West Bengal, the BJP might think that they have a chance to improve on their numbers of 18. Why? Because one, incumbency with Mamata Banerjee has become much longer. She's seen some trouble in her parties. There've been these Sandesh Khali incidents, and the BJP is really focused on that state, and you can see why. So again, for BJP to make up, that number of 18 will have to go higher. That's the reason I say this election is fought state by state by state. That's why our analysis also sometimes gets cluttered. That's why I need the help of my colleagues like Amog and DK Singh, our political editor, to make sense of this. However, so the first half over, the basic difference between the first half and the second half, a bulk of the seats, a much larger percentage of the seats won by the BJP in this first half were won by more than 50%. So the degree of difficulty on retaining the remaining seats is that much higher for the BJP, and the degree of difficulty in challenging the BJP on those seats is that much lower. It's still not low. It's that much lower for the opposition. Second, in the second phase, in the seats in the second phase, because Bihar and Maharashtra and Andhra fall in the second phase, BJP's dependence on allies, on partners, is much greater than in the first phase. Out of these partners also, one old partner is split, that is Shiv Sena, and one new partner is only the split half of an existing partner of the other one. That said, also in this phase, in the state of Punjab, which has 13 seats, BJP had an ally earlier. They don't have one now. That is Shromani Akali Dal. In Haryana plus Chandigarh and Delhi, Haryana has 10 seats, Chandigarh is 1, Delhi is 7. Congress party and Aam Aadmi party have an alliance. In fact, in Haryana, one seat has been allocated to Aam Aadmi party in Haryana. 9 of the 10 seats, BJP had more than 50%, back to the same rule. In one seat, that is Rohtak, where Dipinder Singh Hooda was contesting from the Congress party, the BJP got a little bit less than 50%. Dipinder Singh Hooda is still there, but these are states where BJP is left without a partner and BJP is on its own. Punjab, Haryana, Chandigarh and Delhi. And each one of these, the opposition is now united. So if anything, the opposition's vote will not be divided. And once again, the 50% plus strike to these seats also. In these seats, 10 of Haryana, 7 of Delhi, 1 of Chandigarh. 18 seats out of 18 seats, in 17, BJP had more than 50%. So this by and large is our analysis of the state of play at the midway point, like a midterm analysis of this election campaign. Now, how many seats, who's going to win? I don't know. I wish I knew. If I knew these things, if I could give you an idea or give myself an idea with any confidence, who's going to win how many seats, and I was also a betting person, I'd be very rich because I know there's satta going over all over the country, right? But I'm not either of the first two. I don't know any numbers and never make claims to knowing any numbers, nor am I a betting person. So the third is unlikely to happen.